It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. 37-year-old Melissa Beeson has been missing from the Lac des Flambeaux Reservation in northern Wisconsin for 30 days.
Since then, the Lac des Flambeaux Tribal Police Department and search and rescue volunteers have conducted ground, air, and water searches.
Beeson is a member of the Lac des Flambeaux Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Indians. The Bureau of Indian Affairs estimates that there are 4,200 murdered and missing person cases that have gone unsolved.
In the recent State of the Tribes address, St. Croix Chippewa Indians of Wisconsin Chairman Thomas Fowler called this a public health crisis and honored a victim.
In January, a San Carlos Apache teenager, Emily Pike, went missing. Her remains were found nearly a month later.
Wisconsin's Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women Task Force is preparing its recommendations on how to prevent homicide, trafficking, and violence against Indigenous women.
Brooke Johnson is the task force's coordinator at the Wisconsin Department of Justice. She's a member of the Stockbridge Muncie Band of Mohicans Tribe. And Justine Rufus is chair of this task force. She's a member of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa. Welcome to you both.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us. I'm so happy to be here today.
Justine, let's start with you. Can you take us to this moment? What is the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women Task Force working on now?
So our task force was created back in 2021, so we've been working on the task force since then. We have a very large task force with over 40 members. We created four subcommittees, a data committee, a family impact committee, a systems committee, and a legal committee that's been working on creating recommendations for a report that we'll be submitting. And we do have a deadline of the end of this year to be issuing that report for the state of Wisconsin. Our report is really unique because we're not only going to create a report on the status of MMIW in the state of Wisconsin, but we're also going to be the first state to have an implementation plan, where we will have more actionable items that we'd like to see taken forward.
Brooke, how do you feel about that implementation plan that lays out, okay, here are the steps to get going on this issue?
Yeah, definitely. Our implementation plan is really an accompanying implementation plan that will go along with the final report. And it recommends actions that can prevent further loss of Indigenous culture and life, and pretty much practical steps that we can all take to improve safety for Indigenous women and relatives. It addresses barriers that contribute to trafficking of Indigenous relatives, and more expeditiously, you know, search for and locate our relatives when they go missing and bring our relatives home, and to ultimately deliver justice for those who have been murdered.
Hmm. Brooke, are there any aspects of these recommendations and implementation steps that you see glimmers of, that you see in progress now, or objectives that the state has some movement on?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of things happening simultaneously that we didn't even expect to be in progress. Like one of our recommendations had been, it stemmed from being able to ping locations off of cell phones. And that was such an issue before. We weren't able to ping locations and get a solid location without going through multiple jurisdictions. And that has been something that was a huge issue when we were trying to, you know, find somebody immediately. And they had just passed last year, I think it's statute 968.373, which really is about a warrant to track communications devices. And now they have made it a lot easier to ping locations in emergency situations.
Hmm. Justine, nearly 5 years of this work, what has surprised you?
I think I say this every time. The most surprising thing was when we gathered together to create this report. We didn't really realize how many families were going to reach out to us, because unfortunately, they don't have a place to go when their relatives go missing. So we as a task force, our job was tasked to create a report in the state of Wisconsin on the status of murdered and missing Indigenous relatives. we never anticipated that families that had relatives that went missing or families that were desperate in having old cases, getting them reopened or folks to investigate them would come to the task force and ask for our help. We're a place that they do recognize that they can reach out to us, and we do, one, believe them. Two, we will try to use our networks in our communities. We have task force members from all of the tribes. And we've even worked with folks to go into the streets and look for relatives with some of our nonprofits that are doing this work. So I think it's the connections that make them reach out to us.
Brooke, can you step back and provide some context and explanation as to why Indigenous people experience higher rates of violence and higher rates of murder, abduction, and trafficking?
I mean, it's alarming when you look at it, but, you know, intersectional issues has a lot to do with it. The intersection of gender-based violence and MMIWR is heavily intertwined. And these disappearances or murders are often connected to domestic violence, you know, and dating violence and sexual assault, stalking, sex trafficking. You know, these things are all connected. And so when we do education to the public, to the youth or to whoever, we also try to educate on those intersectional issues, because then it helps shine a light onto why, you know, why we are where we are today.
Do you think this report and these implementation steps will also provide some of that missing education that people don't have about this issue in Wisconsin?
Oh, definitely. This will definitely provide education, and not only the implementation plan, but the final report as well. The final report will have a lot of, like, the structural forces and the types of discrimination, the aspects of identity, and why we have become a target for MMIWR and MMIP as well, because our men are missing at a high rate as well. And we don't want to leave any of our Indigenous people out when it comes to, you know, the abduction and the murders of Indigenous people worldwide.
Justine, I want to focus a bit here more on data. The National Crime Information Center had reported that back in 2016, there were over 5,700 reports of missing American Indian and Alaska Native women and girls. So that's nearly a decade ago. But at the same time, the Department of Justice's Federal Missing Persons Database only logged a little over 100 cases. Why do we see such a disparity in those numbers?
I think the reality is most of our relatives live off reservation, so not in our tribal jurisdictions. I think that's one of the issues. So we just don't have the data. We don't have jurisdictions outside of our reservation that are really interested in classifying our people and where we're from. So I think that that's really been a challenge. Also, I think as we've done this report and talked about those issues about recording here in Wisconsin, I think we still fail to create the systems in place in the future to record our murders properly. And so I think if there's a lack of data, then we see a lack of resource and funding that support this crisis. And so I think that's one of our frustrations, is knowing that we're not getting information of how many of us, because it is a crisis. And per capita, it's extremely alarming, the amount of our relatives that are being murdered and missing. Folks ask me, is it really happening here in Wisconsin? And the answer is absolutely. And so I know in my lifetime in Bad River, I'm from the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa. I know in just my lifetime that in a very small community where less than 1,000 of us reside, four women have gone missing from my reservation, and that's just the women. The men are even higher than that. And so we know that in these small communities, tribe after tribe, those numbers are astounding compared to other small rural communities.
Mm. We're talking with two people involved in the Wisconsin Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women Task Force. Justine Rufus is chair of this task force and the rural coordinator of the Wisconsin Coalition Against Sexual Assault. Brooke Johnson is here, the task force's coordinator at the State Department of Justice, as we learn about this work of the task force and its forthcoming report. Brooke, do tribal police departments face any unique challenges in searching for missing persons from their reservations?
Yes, they. I mean, every jurisdiction, as I've learned in this position, faces unique, limitations when it comes to jurisdictional complexities. And tribal governments have inherent sovereign authority over their lands and their members. And that creates, you know, due to limitations imposed by federal laws, like the Major Crimes Act, tribes often have restricted jurisdiction. When it comes to prosecuting certain crimes committed by non-Indigenous individuals on tribal lands, and this jurisdictional gap can create challenges in prosecuting traffickers, kidnappers, or anyone that does commit crimes against our Indigenous people who are not part of the tribe. And as the further we get into this work, even Justine will tell you, we've worked with a lot of people from a lot of different, you know, walks of life throughout the entire state who have been able to help with the collaboration piece and the coordination piece. And that's something that is really lacking, not only in the state of Wisconsin, but, you know, throughout the world, is collaboration and coordination when it comes to jurisdiction and being able to eliminate some of the profound negative effects that they have on tribal communities.
Mm-hmm. We recently talked with Lac des Flambeaux Chief of Police T.J. Bill, whose department has been working very hard to search for 37-year-old Melissa Bisson, who's been missing since March, and other missing persons in their community. And let's take a listen to what he had to say.
Unfortunately, we've had three other missing person cases in the last 4 years. So we've had like one a year. And Newbold Search and Rescue has dropped everything and come to our aid to help us. And in those three past missing persons, it's unfortunate, you know, they perished, but Newbold found them for us, brought them home, and brought closure back to the family. So we don't have a lack of resources up here. Even though we're northern Wisconsin and we're in the middle of nowhere, it's the resources we have is invaluable.
Justine, the chief of police there, explaining the resources and what you hear from that, it seems like this relationship is working there. What do you hear?
I've talked to TJ Bill, and it does sound like at this point he has some supports in his community. And so we're happy to hear that he does have some assistance. We also talked about, as this case goes further on, hoping that those resources are still available, you know, or long lasting, because it's expensive. It costs small communities like Lac des Flambeaux, who has a very small police force, a lot of funding as this continues to go on for the search. I think as I go community to community, it really is about trying to build those partnerships, because Wisconsin's a public law 280 state. So we do rely on our county partners to prosecute these cases. And so it's important to create good relationships, but that's not always the case. And we know that that can have profound impacts when you're looking for a relative if you don't have the resources to support you, because we are such small communities.
Brooke, I want to turn to you. As you hear about the situation with Melissa Bisson and the search, what can people do who are hearing this? What can they do to help authorities, whether it's this case or any case of missing and murdered Indigenous women?
You know, advocacy and preventative measures are so important. I mean, the more that you educate yourself on the topic and you're able to really understand, you know, the unique vulnerabilities that a lot of Indigenous communities face today, there's everything from community empowerment and education to youth engagement and mentorship, you know, legal reforms and advocacy, awareness campaigns, collaborative partnerships, just like we heard TJ Bill talking about how he has the resources there. That was never the case. You know, you wouldn't have been able to find a tribe in the state that really had, you know, sufficient resources or that collaboration to be able to say, hey, we have everything we need. So even just like on the ground searches, you can volunteer and you can get trained on how to do ground searches. We have many awesome nonprofit organizations in the state of Wisconsin. I mean, honestly, really education. That's one thing that I really, really try to advocate for is education and public awareness campaigns. So that way, you know, the general public is able to educate about the risks of not only trafficking of Indigenous people, but just trafficking in general, looking at the rate of, you know, the risks and the intersectional issues that Indigenous people go through and be able to advocate for them properly.
Justine, can you talk about the funding you currently have in Governor Evers' budget and how that's being used?
Yes, I think it's really important that everyone knows that now when we're often asked, how can you act? How can you get involved? And I think now is the time for action. Currently, the Finance Committee is having current listening sessions throughout the state about the governor's budget. And the last cycle we included money for MMIW, our office, to support our relatives in this work in Wisconsin. And this year we have a request for a budget item for tribal liaisons for families and relatives. As we move past this task force, there will be relatives that are looking for folks to support them when their relatives are murdered and going missing. And so we have asked for a budget for liaison positions. We've also asked for increased funding for our law enforcement. And so we really do applaud the governor for including this crisis in his budget. And so we're encouraging folks to call your legislators and also the Joint Finance Committee to encourage them to approve the funding for the MMIWIP.
And Brooke, what would you like to see out of this report when it's published?
My hope would be that we don't have to have task forces like the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Task Force. My hope would be that my daughters don't have to deal with the issues that we're dealing with today. They don't have to be afraid that they will become a statistic. I'm really hoping that we can get some positive change that impacts generations.
Justine, how about you?
I am really hope for the future that there's some action that's taken, more resources, more funding, laws that are changed in the future that really create those impacts that Brooke was talking about. We have a long road ahead of us because there hasn't been a lot of actual actionable steps. I think one of the things that we're most looking forward to in our report is that we lay that out with the implementation plan. We're giving you the exact recommendations into an action plan. Mm-hmm. And I too hope for the future that we aren't going to have to continue to see the loss in our communities the way that we currently do in the future.
Justine and Brooke, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Justine Rufus is chair of Wisconsin's Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women Task Force. Brooke Johnson is the task force's coordinator at the Wisconsin Department of Justice. We talked about the work of the task force to address the crisis of missing and murdered Indigenous women and its forthcoming report. Melissa Beeson of Lac des Flambeaux is still missing. Anyone with information is encouraged to call the Lac des Flambeaux Tribal Police Department at 715-588-7717 or the Vilas County Sheriff's Office at 715-479-4441.